Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello once again. This is Coach Chuck Creasy. And folks, it is 2016. We are into another calendar year. And it's the fourth calendar year that we've been doing American Tennis on the UR Tennis Network. And thanks to Jason Haynes, the originator of the UR Tennis Network, you get four great programs, actually five every week on the UR Tennis Network. Folks, go to your iPhone or to your computer and go to urtennisnetwork.com, urtennisnetwork.com. You can get Jason Haynes' program 2 hours after lunchtime to actually 2 p.m. every Wednesday, but it is there. He's got the collegiate tennis program. Lisa Stone has her Parenting Aces program. Steve Clark's, West Coast Tennis, and it has been a hit. And John Denise's program of the Florida Tennis Network down there. And my golly, tennis in Florida, tennis in California, tennis in Texas. A coach told me today, if you could ever get a handle on all those kids and get them all motivated, you would have something special because they are jam-packed with a lot of people playing tennis. And whether or not it is a sport or an after-school activity, well, folks, I mean, that's one of the dilemmas we've got to solve. But this is American Tennis. I'm Coach Chuck Creasy, and we're in our fourth calendar year and our fourth year of doing this. But Happy New Year to all of you, and thanks for your patience. I did not do a program Christmas and New Year's. And this is going to be a short one today, folks. I've got about 30 minutes here today, but I'm really trying to, you know, pack it with a lot of information and get us off and running for 2016. As you know, we've done quite a few political programs, and I usually talk about what's going on at high school tennis, college tennis, junior tennis, and daggone it, yeah, they messed a lot of things up. But today we're going to be talking about some tennis instruction. Next week, Coach Bill Moore, actually Dr. Bill Moore, the sports psychologist for the past 25 years, one of the best around, will be on the program, and we'll be talking to Dr. Moore about the motivation of millennials. Now, can you believe that? Motivation of millennials. What in the heck is that all about? Well, we all know about the millennials. We all know about the participation generation. We all know about how hard it is to get people to stick with things and to fall in love with things nowadays. But he's going to have a lot of answers for you. And so tune in next week, actually next Wednesday at noon on the Your Tennis Network. And what I wanted to get into today, I wanted to, first of all, I've got to always do this to say that the purpose of American Tennis, the mission statement, is to give you a forum to stand up to the things that you want to talk about. And, golly, I'm befuddled a lot. I hear when I go to these tournaments and everything, people really are just down in the dumps about what the USTA has done to tennis with their abbreviated formats. The ITA has just butchered college tennis. You know, college tennis is gone. I had a meeting with my team today. And I say, guys, it's going to be a big benefit for us. We're building a great program at the Citadel, and we have a great culture, a great program, a great school, 173-year history and a heritage, and folks, we're going to build a good one here. But I was telling the players, I said, listen here, this no-ad scoring thing is something that's going to be, if you maneuver it right and you drive through it right, it is easy as pie to win with. And it really has made chess into checkers. If you're a chess player and you understand and love the game of tennis and the beautiful scoring system that we've had for 132 years, this natural barometer for how to keep score and this natural barometer to measure when players make a jump from one level to the next, and this rite of passage that players have, if you're good at doing that, it's like being good at chess, I told the players. This stuff's going to be easy, and folks, we'll talk about it sometime, but if you play NOAD 4 to 7 points, they think it's this exciting thing. Well, they have just dumbed down the greatest game invented in the history of the world. And I don't know how these guys could have done it. They just have so little respect for tennis. And I just something that we love has been dumbed down, belittled, cut up. And how could they do this? It's just unbelievable. I've been battling it for 3 years. I'm going to stay in the battle, and I'm going to try to write. But, folks, you know, if they talk about me out there, you know what? Dang it. I've been in this game 53 years. I've been coaching 46 years. And dang it, you give your best to help children. You give your best to help other people. And that's what you do. But the long story short on it is it's just so depressing to see something you love. It's you turn a symphony into the band, you make chess into checkers, you turn fly fishing into bait casting, and you do electronic. You go on and on and on with the dumb down. But easy to pick up becomes easy to put down, and we are losing players. And they're panicking. They're panicking. That's all that's happening, but you don't make it better by cheapening it. But high school tennis is pretty much gone, isn't it? It's an after-school activity. College tennis is gone. We haven't turned out players. Told somebody today, you know how bad college tennis is? We have had 100 players a year for the last 10 years going to college tennis. 100, now think about this. Our best cream of the crop kids go off to college, and they treat it like, you know, a fizzy party, an after-school activity. And there was one coach who really has pushed NOAD tennis say to my friend this week out at the Winter Nationals, oh, well, development is done. And juniors, you guys have to do a better job at developing players, because in college we just have provided and exciting format. Now, is that ludicrous? How could anybody think that development of all of our kids are done? Well, apparently it is, because 100 kids per year for 10 years is 1,000 kids. You tell me how many. Call in and tell me. 714-583-6853. 714-583-6853 is the call-in number. But you call me and tell me how many, 1,000 kids in the last 10 years, how many have become top 15 or top 20 pros? 3? 4.0? 3.0? I mean, it is ridiculous how bad we have done at training players. We have made mediocrity or genericized our talent. And, this is a frustrating. I'm going to start writing. A good friend told me, just start writing, write. And that's the way to get your ideas out there, and you won't be controversial. A lot of these folks shut me down, and they try to shut me down. And I'm not going to be quiet. I love the sport. I don't care if I get to be 108 before I kick off here. If I'm in the game 75 years, I will still be battling this bastardization of our scoring system, these 10-point tiebreakers and no-add scoring. But college tennis is gone. Junior tennis is going to go. Folks, they're pushing it down to junior tennis. I've heard four USTA people they've already got their talking point out there. You tell people when they ask you, why are you doing no ad? Oh, we've got to get kids ready for college. What? And all of them, like little parrots, say the same thing. We've got to get college kids ready, or high school kids ready for tennis, or for college tennis. So, look, junior tennis is coming. High school tennis, we have 350,000 players. We only have 17,000 competitors playing 5 tournaments or more. And we've got to bark up another tree. This is not good. This is not good. Happy New Year to y'all. We will be battling a lot this year, battling a whole lot. Edmund Burke says that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good people, good men, good people to do nothing. We need your voice. Do it in a good way. Stand up, speak out, make sure people are hearing what you say. Because I know you're out there and you feel the same way. You feel the same way. We want to talk today, though. Our topic for the next 20 or 30 minutes is going to be on some match play ideas and some things that will help you in your matches and help your youngsters in your matches. And we will be right back with American Tennis. This is Coach Chuck Creasy.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena, from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
Fuel, it isn't ours, and wearing cotton we didn't grow.
ABC and making them in America. We need your help, folks. We need American tennis to be number one in the world again. We have the greatest country in the world. We have the greatest facilities in the world. We have the best coaches in the world. But through our political correct, our way of doing things, our socialist way of doing things, what have we done? We've taken away training hours in college. We've taken away match play in college. Everybody's so scared to push the kids and afraid of lawsuits. We treat kids like little pansies. I mean, little waste, little weaklings, and little hothouse flowers is what I wanted to say. The little hothouse flowers. And they're not. Our kids are tough. We need to try to help them become tougher. So, folks, we need to really do an about-face and try to find ways to stretch our kids. But we're not doing it in the junior ranks, the college ranks. And I'm hoping this group that came up recently, we've always done a good job until the kids are about 16. We seem to lose them about 16. All right, so I'm training my team, and I want them to have some things to hang on to for the college season. And I give them a list for match checkpoints and things that they should go through in their mind when they're playing against a tough opponent, especially if things aren't going well. So I've got five checkpoints here. And here are the five checkpoints. I'm going to give them to you, and then we're going to discuss them briefly in our short program that we have today. Number one question, is my ball striking and movement enough, or am I being overloaded? In other words, that physical part of things, is my ball striking good enough? Is my movement good enough, or am I just getting behind in the time? And I've got to say this, that if your kids work hard enough and move well on the court and they have good footwork, go to Richard Kornick Tennis, K-O-R-N-E-C-K, and he's got some great videos on movement to the ball and recovery steps. But we do this with our college kids over and over and over again. And I'm going to come back and talk about it here. But I wanted to go over these quickly so that you have movement. Is your ball striking movement good enough? Number two, is your shot selection right on? Do you use the directionals well, and is the geometry the court considered as you develop your shot selection? Number three, are you consistent enough? That's huge. And so, without the consistency, forget it. Most of our kids, as we have trained our kids over the years with thousands of balls hit one time out of bags and out of carts, our kids have gotten good at hitting balls one time, but the repetitive work has to be done as well. So ball striking, is that good enough in movement? Is the shot selection dead on? Repetition and consistency, is that good enough? Number four, tactics and momentum control. Now, in one of my earlier programs, I went into great depth and detail about momentum control. If you'll go back, go to chuckcreasy.net, and you can get all my programs there. They all have a paragraph about the substance in the program and the information given in the program. But we have one on momentum control, just one on completely on momentum control. And these tactics are important. They're often left out of tennis. In other sports, it's so important. The play calling is so important, but players who know how to call the right play at the right time, it's important. Number five, are you clutch? Can you get the job done under pressure? So these are the 5 points. Ball striking and movement, number one. Number two, shot selection. Is your shot selection dead on? Number three, are you consistent enough? Can you do the same? This game had a good and noble coach say tennis is very simple. It's only three things, repetition, repetition, repetition. But is your consistency good enough? And number four, tactics and momentum in your strategy. Number five, you've got to be clutch. in the end, being clutch is often more important than being good. Clutch play is very, very important. You can be a bad player, but if you're clutch and you get down to the end of the matches, this is incredibly important. So let's take these a little bit of time, a couple minutes on each one. The ball striking and movement. If you're out hit on the court, you've got to be able to put pressure on the other side of the court with something in some other way. In other words, you have the physical, the mental, and the emotional parts of the game. And think of this. Think of a, and I'm going to give credit to the great coach Kyle Bailey, who I was able to work with side by side for about 2.5 years. And he used this analogy. He used to tell the kids, look, there's a balloon on your side of the court. There's a balloon on the opponent's side of the court. Your key is to keep a balance of pressure in the balloon on your side of the court, a balance of pressure. Your key is to blow up that balloon on the other side with pressure and put enough pressure on that side to where the player will feel pressure. They'll start pressing, and they will crack eventually. So how do you put pressure on their side of the court? You do it with your ball striking and movement. It has to be good. The physical part is number one. The mental part, you must use good strategies. And the emotional part is incredibly important at the highest levels of play. The emotional pressure that you put on your opponent is incredibly important. And folks, the key to the game, and I don't want to go into this a lot, but the key is to make the opponent go inner man or inner woman. The minute that they feel enough pressure to look at their own game and start worrying about their own game, and they go inner man, and they do not go man against man or woman against woman. They go inner man, or they go man versus nature. There's three battles, man versus inner man, and man versus nature, according to Ernest Hemingway. I've mentioned this before. But those three battles in life on the tennis court are the same. But the minute that the player goes inner man, their game starts to crumble. Their hands fall apart, hand-eye coordination goes, and they start to crumble. So that's the key thing, is to put pressure on their side of the court. If ball striking and movement are the most important, I mean, that's the most obvious. That's the way we do it initially. But at the higher levels, you have to do physical, not just the physical skill set, but you have to do the mental skill set and the emotional skill set. Think of that balloon. How do you keep your balance right where it needs to be, and how do you get that opponent to blow up? Let's go to Richard Kornick Tennis. And this fella has really good movement information about how to do it. Okay, number two, your shot selection. Wardlaw Directionals. Paul Wardlaw, coach for many, many years, and he has a book out there called Pressure Tennis. But the Wardlaw Directionals in 1992, let's see how many years, that's been a few years back, 24 years ago I met Paul, and he sent me the Wardlaw Directionals. I'm forever grateful. I have passed them around the world in every talk and every conference I've ever given, and we always credit Paul Wardlaw for the Wardlaw Directionals. They have the best. He has the best and most simplified method to teach children. Just three simple shot selections, and it's the paradigm has to change on the Wardlaw Directionals, not to where you're trying to hit the ball, but the ball you are receiving. The ball you are receiving. Your paradigm has to change. You're like a batter first and a pitcher second. Think of how we do this in reverse. Very often, we will try to hit a ball to their backhand. Well, we might not have the right ball to hit a ball to their backhand. Oh, try to do this. Well, we might not have the right ball. The Wardlaw Directional simplifies everything, keeps the geometry of the court perfect. And when I chart matches, I will chart errors, winners, and times I force errors. And the opponent's errors, the winners they hit, and times they force errors. If my player wins the forcing errors column, I know they've used directionals very well. You use directionals well, Paul Wardlaw Directionals, and it's like controlling the line of scrimmage in football an hour, hour and a half into the match. That other game goes down if you're using the directionals and the person cracks. The pressure becomes too much because of the mental decisions. Remember, physical, mental, emotional. Ball striking movement is the physical part. Mental part is shot selection. Look, the repetition is the mother of skill. Number three, repetition is the mother of skill. The kids have to fall in love with hitting the ball. I bring out wood rackets all the time in practice. And the kids go, whoa, wait a minute, this is hard. And then the more they do it, the more they want to do it. They just grab the racket when we're doing volleys because it cleans up the strokes. And I've often said that the dopamine rush that we get from hitting a ball with a wood racket is far superior to these technologically advanced rackets. Folks, it is a shame what we've done to tennis. Wood rackets on clay courts, what the heck? You know, today I was at a facility in Florida. The coach was working on the clay courts, and he was like a great artist, a great sculptor of clay. And the way that he lined the courts and he brushed the courts and took care of it, and afterwards it was just like, whoa, look what I have done. And you don't dare walk on that court after he's done that. But the hard courts, our kids leave banana peels laying around. The nets are torn. It's a sham that we have done this, that we've genericized our game with the clay courts. Our kids don't want to hit the ball as many times as it needs to be hit. With the number three, the repetition, and very, very simple consistency, because the kids don't fall in love with hitting the ball. They want to win, but they don't get the dopamine rush we used to when the technology was very simple with the wood rackets. What a shame. Technology has really screwed up a lot of sports. It's screwed up golf, hasn't it? Those of you who are great golfers out there know that the golf courses have been made into antiques, and it's just... the high-tech equipment is just not where it's at. Don't you love hitting a blade instead of a cavity back and so on and so on? Now, repetition is the mother of skill. Number three, repetition. Number four, tactics, momentum control. So you have the physical, the mental, and emotional ways to put pressure on your opponent. The physical part is the ball striking and the movement and the repetition. The mental part is your shot selection and momentum control. Momentum control, go to my books, go to chuckcreasy.net and check out my coaching tennis book and look for my writings on momentum control. Folks, I've been working on momentum control since 1979 because I've recognized since then that it is the most important tool and the greatest and most powerful skill set that you could ever have as an athlete in any sport. Just watch football games, basketball games, you'll see it, baseball games as well. But in tennis, we really, really, really need it. Not many people talk about it, but the tactics are part of the emotional part. So the physical part of the ball striking, consistency, shot selection, and the momentum control are the tactical parts. Number five, being clutch. What is being clutch? Well, that's emotional toughness. It's your ability to perform under pressure. It's your ability to, what do they say? Be like a duck, calm and unruffled on the surface, underneath the surface. You're paddling like crazy. But how do you do that? How do you stay calm and have a quiet mind with a loud body? Quiet mind, loud body. Think about it. When you're not clutch, you get loud with the mind and quiet with the body. You need the reverse. You need loud body and quiet mind. And, you know, the only way to do this is to get a lot of reps at winning. Some people will pick up on it earlier, but there is no bad win in tennis. You want to get your youngster clutch before they play a tournament. Have them win 10 sets against people they're supposed to beat the week of. Don't play them against all those people that they lose too close and they say, oh, my ball striking picked up. They've got to get to the place where they win when it gets down to those big points. No ad is a different ball game. We're going to have a seminar on no ad 1 week. But those are the five things. Remember, ball striking, movement, shot selection, repetition and consistency, tactics and momentum control, and being clutch. Being clutch, wow. We need a whole program on being clutch and how to be clutch. And here's what I want to say. You know that, golly, I think that some people have ice water in their veins. I have a player, one of my players about middle of the lineup. I've got to have him in the lineup. He's just clutch. He's the kind of player that sees everything and never panics. I have other players that work really, really hard to practice, but they're not quite as clutch. They make you proud every day of practice, but then when the game is on the line, they try too hard. They don't try soft. This guy is clutch, try soft. How do you teach this? But it is the emotional toughness that you need, and it's the emotional part of the game that is it's so, so critical. Well, folks, we are back in action, and next Wednesday, we will have Coach Bill Moore, Dr. Bill Moore. He's been a tennis coach, but he is also a sports psychologist, talking to us about how to motivate millennials. I'm Chuck Creasy. This has been American Tennis.
Made in America, born in a hot land, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. Never buy tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't prejudiced. He's just made in America.
Process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. And folks, join us every Wednesday at noon, or just, you know, bring up urtennisnetwork.com and get every one of our shows. And welcome to 2016. We're going to have a great year. God bless each and every one of you. And go out and help that young person in front of you fall in love with tennis. We'll see you next week.